Welcome to The Credit Connection with High Tech Lending's David Brown, helping you get your finances in order and get you the credit you deserve. The Credit Connection, here on KSMA, 1240 AM, 99.5 FM, and 1240KSMA.com. Now, from High Tech Lending, David Brown.
Welcome to our show, The Credit Connection. I'm your host, David Brown, with High Tech Lending and American Senior Reverse Mortgage. At The Credit Connection, we want to connect you to the credit you want and deserve for your home, your business, personal use. Here we discuss all things creditworthy, such as lenders, FICO scores, interest rates, credit cards, mortgages, you name it. If it has to do with credit or money, we discuss all the aspects. Think of our show as a financial literacy class with different topics each week. We really enjoy your feedback and questions that relate to credit. I encourage you to ask your questions through our website, reloans.com. Hit the Contact Us tab and leave your question or comment. You can also call us at 805-686-2321. Today's program will share with you some actual lending and credit scenarios and pull back the curtain today regarding buying and selling a home with Bob Collotti. Here's some current events that have affected the market recently. The recent midterm elections, the House is now controlled by the Democratic Party, and major committees will be chaired by senior Democratic members. Accordingly, Maxine Waters will be in charge of the Finance and Banking Committee, which regulates banks and financial institutions. I wish her well and hope for the best, but her lack of economic acumen has me concerned with this industry segment and her being in charge. Also, past history dictates that she's going to be a little more stringent on the financial markets than may be necessary. Okay, now for the green. Let's go for the fun part of today's program, pull back the curtain on buying and selling a home with Bob Collotti. Bob and I met in pursuit of assisting a client of his. I know by the nature of our conversation, his passion and goal was for the best interest of the client, putting aside his own economic gain. Bob called seeking information about a reverse mortgage for his client to keep him in the home rather than listing and selling. I said to myself, this is a guy, just the type of realtor I want to work with, always putting his client ahead of himself. Bob's been licensed a realtor for over 25 years, and he's with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, California Properties. Welcome, Bob. Glad you're here.
Thank you so much for asking me to come. I really appreciate it.
Well, we're going to be enlightened by your expertise
that.
in home ownership acquisition. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how long you've been in the real estate sales and your how you picked this particular niche of real estate.
Okay, yeah, I moved here in 1994. I was an engineer before, graduate engineer, and got my license in Thousand Oaks. And worked real estate there for a year to see if I liked it. I loved it. And then I had family here, so we moved here and have been here ever since. And I've just loved real estate.
Bob, you deal mostly with the residential real estate. Have you always been in residential real estate, or have you done other things?
Pretty much. I mean, I've done some land and a couple of units, but mostly residential.
Residential.
Almost exclusively, yeah.
And you find the joy in doing that by helping people get a new home, or what?
Well, that's the fun of it. I mean, people come to you and they either want to buy a house, particularly first-time home buyers, or they want to sell a house. Maybe there's a financial issue there. Frequently, there's a divorce, which is an unhappy event, or a death. But people need help, and so I try to give them the best advice and help that I can give them.
All right. Well, what are you seeing today in our local market regarding supply and demand? You find it moving from a seller's market to a buyer's market, or where do you see it today?
It's been very interesting. The market was very brisk earlier in the year. There weren't that many listings, lots of buyers. The number of buyers have slowed. It takes longer to get a house sold today. It's still a very good market, don't misunderstand me, but it just takes a little longer. Buyers are a little more aggressive. Interest rates, as you know, have gone up, as well as the prices having moved up. And on that note, we're actually seeing some softening in prices, interestingly, because some people, I worked with a client recently, and they were moving to Minnesota, you know what's happening in the Minnesota in November and December. They had to sell that house. And so they accepted an offer that was at the low end of what I anticipated they would get. It was still in the range, but it was at the low end rather than the high end. So they, you know, there's a lot of pressure on people who must sell to lower their prices to get them sold.
Right, right. Bob, I get asked all the time, when's a good time to buy a home?
That's a good question. Yeah, we always hear that question. Actually, today is probably the best time to buy a home because it's like buying a stock. You know, you don't know if the stock's going to go up or down. And having been in this business and on this planet a long time, property generally goes up. In California particularly, it's always been a highly appreciating asset. Yes, we've had spikes. We had one not long ago where they spiked down. But when they spike back up again, they always spike up to higher levels than they were before. It's like a ratchet going up.
Right.
And if you buy a home and you plan to live in it 10 years, even 5 years, but probably safer with 10 years, it's not a question of if you're going to make money. It's just a question of how much money you will make.
Right, right.
And there's no question about that.
Buying any time is a good time.
Best time to buy is today, and particularly now, because if interest rates are going to keep going up, which is the anticipation, now's the time to lock in a good rate. And I've heard some millennials say, I heard this on the Financial Channel, that they were distressed by the high interest rates. They don't realize where we have been. I mean, these rates are incredibly low, historically low.
Right.
So they may be in for a shock if they don't.
Well, I heard recently affordability index is at its lowest point in the last decade. That means that it is more expensive for most people because of higher interest rates and higher values.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we talk about the rates were so much higher before, but the prices weren't that high then.
Right.
Now you couple it with the high prices, and yeah, it creates a real problem, particularly in California, coastal California particularly.
Right. Yeah. I also see that many buyers and sellers are using the internet for information. Do you find that to be true, or are they looking to the internet for pricing? For what are they looking for?
The internet is everything. Almost everybody goes to Zillow and Redfin and all these sites to get information, Realtor.com, which would be the California Association of Realtors website. And people are looking for data. Data is so available, and they want to know what's out there. So frequently when I run across a new client, whether they're selling or buying, they've already done a lot of spade work on the internet, which I think is fantastic.
Right.
I mean, it's wonderful.
Are they looking at the neighborhoods? Are they looking at specific homes? Are they looking at financing?
Well, yes to all of those. They're looking at all those things. Certainly, if they're local, they're a little more familiar with the areas and may focus on certain areas. But remember, people are looking at these listings from all over the world. And so they may be looking just at price and age of house, size of house, maybe not aware of a neighborhood's bet as well as someone who's local.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, people are doing a lot of research, and that makes it easy on realtors, too, if people have some familiarity with what's out
there. They're informed.
Yes.
And they know what their neighbor's house sold for 3 weeks ago, so it might make it easier to list or be realistic with the listing if it's at least a track house. How can a buyer prepare for a new home purchase?
Well, I always tell people, I run across people looking at houses and prices and things, and one of the first questions I always ask is, have you talked to a lender? Because people frequently are looking at things that maybe they can't afford. Everyone wants a nice home, the best home they can buy. So I've run into people who are looking beyond their means, and that's not a good place to start, because then they won't be happy with what they can afford. So I always encourage people, it's great to get familiar with neighborhoods and prices, what's available, but really the place to start is to find a good lender and talk to that lender and find out what you can do. And lenders frequently give the clients advice as to maybe things they need to do to clean up their credit a little bit, to be able to get a better FICO score, get a better interest rate. You know, if you do certain things, you pay this off, pay that off. So that's really the place to start.
If they're going to finance it.
Yes.
Agreed. A lot of people will come to me and says, I didn't know I needed 20% down. I says, well, you don't need 20% down. You if you have a small savings of even $10,000, you can get into a house. And there's also a lot of down payment assistance programs that we've discussed that can help them with that down payment part. What should a seller do to prepare their home for a sale?
Yes. In fact, I'll go back to the couple that's moving, has moved to Minnesota. They'd been in that house for 35 years. Nice house, nice neighborhood in Orcutt, lovely property, quiet street. But they had allowed plants to overgrow in the yard, and, you know, they didn't know, and the inside was very cluttered. She was a bit of a hoarder, so there were too many things in there. All the drapes were drawn, and it was dark. First thing I told them was, because they needed, or they wanted to get, obviously, the most they could out of the property, and we want that for them as well. And so I told them, I said, you know, there's certain things you need to do before we hit the market, because if we go out in this condition, we're going to get lower offers. So we need to do some decluttering. And I suggested a few simple things. When you're selling your house, you don't want to spend a lot of money on it. I understand that. You're leaving. But simple things like painting, taking down old blinds. Frankly, it'd be better to have no blinds than old blinds. Decluttering, maybe even a little bit of carpeting in the bedrooms if they're worn. That's not terribly expensive. Simple things, cleaning up the front yard. These things all made a big difference. By the time we finished, by the time we hit the market, the house had gone through a real metamorphosis. It looked so much newer, so much nicer, and it really helped. If we hadn't done that, we wouldn't have even achieved the pricing we did.
Does it help if they get a title policy or find their deed so they know how it's even structured or pricing for termite or pest reports or anything like that? Should they get those in advance?
I always talk with them about that, whether they want to do a pest inspection up front or not. There are reasons for doing it. There are reasons for not doing it. So it just depends how you want to approach it. Once you do a pest report, do an inspection, that now becomes a required disclosure to any buyer. Well, if you make it a required disclosure and the buyer sees that there are things on there, and there always is, you increase the chances or the probability that they're going to ask for a clearance on that. They might not have otherwise.
Right.
And as you know, lenders don't really require clearance on the termite unless the damage is so evident that an appraiser calls it out, and then, of course, it would be
required. Or it's a VA finance loan because they... VA requires it.
Yeah, so VA does.
If it's a VA loan, but you're right. Then it's up to the seller and buyer whether or not they're going to get one or put it in the contract for that matter. Hey, we're going to take a short break now. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Bob Colati of Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, California Properties.
Mom, are you okay?
Honey, I'm fine. Just a broken glass.
Really? Are you okay?
I haven't been sleeping well since Dad, you know. I wake up at night worried if I can make ends meet.
Mom, why don't we look into a reverse mortgage? Then you won't have to make any more house payments and you can live comfortably.
Should I just call the guys on TV?
No, who knows where they're from? My neighbor recommended David Brown of American Senior. He'll come to the house and answer all our questions. Mom, call David at American Senior, okay? Here, I Googled the number, 686-2321.
686-2321.
All homeowners over 62, don't worry about your finances. Call 686-2321. 686-2321. Get a reverse mortgage with David Brown of American Senior. David Brown of American Senior, a division of High Tech Lending, licensed by the Department of Oversight under California Law, Mortgage and Lending Act, NMLS 7147, CA3413-0937.
Welcome back to the second part of our show, The Credit Connection. If you're just now joining us, we're discussing buying and selling a home with Bob Colati. Bob, I've been told that more buyers and sellers are not using realtors, but rely on Zillow or similar providers for information and transactions. What are you finding out there?
Well, it is true. I frequently hear the word Zillow and the word Redfin, among others. And so consumers are very aware, and they are checking those things. I'd like them to go to realtor.com more than those sites. But at any rate, Zillow is a website. I mean, I'm just going to say it is a website that most realtors don't like, and I'll tell you why. Years ago, I had a house listed in Sunrise Hills where I live, and Zillow always has these estimates of value.
Right.
Okay. They do a real disservice to the community by having that. They had a estimate of value on this house of $320,000 at that time. We sold that house to an all-cash buyer for $420,000.
Wow. $100,000 more.
$100,000 more. Now, imagine there was some old guy out there. I'll just use that scenario. Some old guy out there who says, I'm going to sell the house myself, and I'm going to avoid all those pesky realtor commissions. So he goes to Zillow, and he sees $320,000. He says, I'm going to sell my house for $350,000 with no commissions. And that's what he does. Well, he just left $70,000. Not quite, because he had to pay the real estate commissions. He left a lot of money on the table. So I have a real hot button about that. I don't think it's a good thing for any website to be estimating values. Sometimes they're correct. Frequently they're way low, and frequently they're way high.
Because they just don't give as estimates on value. They also do it for rent and payments for mortgages. But I'm understanding that they also get all their information from realtors. They'll place their listings on Zillow for additional exposure, and then Zillow will charge them for leads.
Well, for years when Zillow was building the site, it's my understanding that the MLSs were providing the data to Zillow so they could do this. It was a service, a free service. But I understand now they are demanding payment as well. And our local MLS, the North Santa Barbara County MLS, no longer participates with Zillow. Our listings are not on Zillow because we will not pay for them to be
right
there.
They are starting to sell real estate in other markets. Charlotte, North Carolina, Colorado, Denver, Colorado. So they're going to be your competitor if they're not already. That being said, what advice do you have for the do-it-yourself buyer or seller? And what value does a realtor bring or provide to these buyers and sellers?
Many people have successfully bought and sold homes by themselves, and that's fine. I mean, there are some risks associated with that. For example, if you talk to an escrow company, I'm a for sale by owner, I sell you my house, you buy it, you come to me and we buy it. We go to escrow and we open escrow. Escrow will open escrow and process the transaction, and hopefully it successfully closes. But remember, there's no contract. Escrow will not prepare. They do not prepare a contract. So you get into a real estate transaction, and some of them can be pretty complex. There's nothing there that says exactly how we were going to handle that situation. The CAR contracts, California Association of Realtor Contracts, are the results of many lawsuits over the decades. And they cover most of the issues that could potentially come up in a transaction, so that if something happens, we already have a roadmap to follow as to how we're going to handle that.
Right.
So it is risky to sell it by yourself or buy it by yourself. But there are more sophisticated people, maybe even attorneys as an example, who are comfortable with doing it. But a realtor really provides a lot of expertise, not only the contract, but for example, when we're trying to evaluate offers, particularly in a multiple offer situation or any situation, I know the cast of players. I mean, I know the other realtors. I know the ones who I can trust what they say to me. I know the lenders. I know the good lenders. I know a pre-qual letter from you, for example, is better than a pre-approval letter from someone else. These are all valuable things, particularly if you're planning on moving out of the area like these. I keep going back to the Minnesota folks. They needed to know their house was sold. They needed to understand what was going on. And that's where I really was able to help them and get them over some sticky situations, because we did run into a couple and work through them. So it's that experience that really, I think, makes a big, big difference.
Well, it also offers a third party to show and negotiate, as opposed to direct negotiations. Sometimes it's not always the best.
I know I'm a better negotiator for others than I am for myself, so I know exactly what you're saying.
Well, and that's where the value comes in, because they're penny wise and pound foolish, as the saying goes, by not getting that service for and the expertise of a realtor. I use the old adage that you can file your own tax returns, you can fix your own plumbing, and you can buy and sell your own house, but you're still better off with a professional to do it if that's not your skill set or trade. What do you think are the biggest mistakes a buyer makes when looking for a home?
That's a good question. Again, I think it goes back to the pre-qualification as well. Frequently, I run into people who are looking at homes that they really can't afford. Or maybe they think they can afford, but having been in the business a long time, I know that they're really stretching it.
Right.
Again, you have to buy a house that that you can afford, not just today, but what happens in the future if someone loses a job, gets ill, whatever. I've always underbought myself, but I never had to worry about losing my house either. So there's a certain comfort in knowing that, and I think people need to be very cautious and not overspend. Today, particularly younger people, everybody wants their first home to be a palace.
And the antithesis of that is, what's the biggest mistake you see sellers make?
That's easy. That's an easy one.
Okay.
The biggest mistake, and we hear it all the time, we tell someone what their house is worth. And in my case, what I do is I don't tell them a specific price because no one can say for certain. I give them a range, best case or worst case. It won't be less than this. It probably won't be more than that. Probably be somewhere in the middle. But invariably, a seller will say, particularly when they hear that it's a good market, they'll say, well, let's price it higher and let's give it a try. So we give it a try. I try to counsel people. I mean, I like to be aggressive in the pricing too. I want them to get the most they can, and I want to drive the values in the neighborhood. But sometimes you just go so high that you discourage showings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's frequently what happens. You discourage showings. You sit on the market a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and you don't get any showings because the market is saying we're just too high. So if time is of the essence, if time is important to you, it's better to price it correctly. And particularly, it's been shown that we get the most showings when a listing is new. That's right. The time. So if you price it correctly, you should get a lot of showings. You may even get multiple offers. You may even get someone to bid it up. Overprice it and it sits on the market. It's an old, tired listing.
Right.
And that can hurt you. I think it's better to price it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll end up with a bigger price, a higher price than you would have if you overpriced it.
Yeah, it goes from a shiny object to a tarnished real quick. And what would you say that threshold is with regards to time? If it's been on the market more than 30 days or...
Yeah, 30 days, you're probably okay. As you go beyond that, people start to wonder why it hasn't sold. And of course, that number changes too in the marketplace. When the market was bad and houses were sitting on the market almost constantly for 4, 5, 6 months, it wasn't so bad because everybody knew the market was bad. It wasn't that there was something, quote unquote,
right,
wrong with the house. But when the market is good, you want to try to emulate the average days on market of the entire market.
What do you see in average days now?
Yeah, I haven't really checked it precisely, but I would say it's probably running 45 to 50 plus.
Okay. What should a buyer or seller look for when picking a realtor? I mean, market knowledge, technical ability, integrity, hustle, social presence. What?
Yes. Well, all of those, although I fail in maybe in the social presence. That's not my hot button. But yeah, you need someone, I think, who's experienced. Integrity has to be number one. It has to be absolutely number one. Someone who takes fiduciary duty extremely seriously is looking out for you, number one, you, the client, number one, them, number two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They're not worrying about the commission. They're worrying about doing the job for you. That's critical. You have to know the market. You have to be a full-time agent. Being a part-time agent, there are some good ones, I'm sure, but doing anything part-time, I mean, do you want a part-time attorney? Do you want a part-time doctor?
Right.
Probably not. So you need someone who's really committed to the industry. And most important of all, communication. They have to communicate with you. They have to keep you informed of what's going on. Good news and bad news. Not withholding information from the client. Mm-hmm. Remember, it's not the agent's transaction. It's the client's transaction. And frequently I see agents who take it and they personalize it. And it becomes their transaction.
Mm-hmm.
That's important. So communication is critical.
I hear that frequently. You could do the best job, but if you didn't tell them what was going on or set those expectations, they still will have a lesser opinion of the overall transaction itself. What's one of the most comical real estate experiences you've been a part of? Give us a story.
You know, I've given that a lot of thought. And because I knew you were going to ask me that question. You told me you were going to ask me that question. So I don't really have a comical story. I would like to share with you one rather really a serious story. The first listing I ever took in Thousand Oaks when I was living there trying real estate was the house of a friend of my mom's, actually. So we sold this house. We did all the disclosures, got the house sold. People bought it. It was a two-story house. It was only 15 years old. And shortly after it closed, I had a call, and there was a problem because water was appearing on the in the family room on the vinyl floor. And so I said, water, what the heck is that all about? And they'd done a home inspection and everything else.
Right.
So my first thought was, well, probably the pipes were in the slab and maybe the pipe broke. You know, I used to build them that way, but it wasn't the case. Any rate, long story short, it turns out there was a river running under the house. There was a stream under the house.
Oh my God.
And the problem could be fixed simply by removing the house from the foundation, story house, jacking it up, digging out the slab, putting a new slab, new moisture barrier, and slab down, putting the house back down and fixing the cracks. It was pretty horrible.
That's not what they did. What did they do?
They actually did that. The buyers
they
kept the house.
No.
We had to pay back all the commissions. The seller had to pay a bunch of money. Frankly, myself, I would have returned the house. I would have sued to return the house. But it was actually a stream under the house. No one knew about it. It was horrible.
No one had known. Well, if nobody knew about it, you didn't have any recourse to the seller, but there you are. Wow. That's amazing. Hey, Bob, how can our listeners reach you? What's the best way to reach you?
Oh, I'm very reachable. I use my cell phone pretty much exclusively, 720-3748.
That's 805.
805-720-3748. Email is Kalati, C-U-L-L-A-T-I, at an abbreviation for Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, California, long name, BHHSCalif.com.
Okay. Bob, I want to thank you so much for joining us today with your insights and feedback on today's real estate market. Once again, we're out of time. Every week, we endeavor to earn your trust and provide valuable information that makes a difference to your bottom line. If you agree, please share this with other friends and family. For questions or comments about this show or other credit questions, go to our website, reloans.com, and click Contact Us tab or call us at 805-686-2321. Leave your questions and we'll get to them on next week's show or contact you directly. Thank you for tuning in to The Credit Connection, where we do the work and you get the credit. I'm your host, David Brown, from High Tech Lending and American Senior Reverse Mortgage. See you next week with another interesting Credit Connection topic.
You've been listening to The Credit Connection with David Brown from High Tech Lending. For more information, contact David Brown directly at 805-686-2321. That's 805-686-2321. Or by email at dbrown@hightechlending.com. dbrown@hightechlending.com. And visit David online at reloans.com. That's reloans.com. And tune in next time for High Tech Lending's David Brown and The Credit Connection here on KSMA.